Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Matthew chapter 22, and I read from verse 35 up through to 40. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37. Then one of them asked him, which was a lawyer, and asked him a question, tempting him, saying, Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law of Moses? And Jesus said to him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments do hang all the law and the prophets. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Again, I want to start by telling you that for you to be able to get into the deep and the depth of the things that the Lord has prepared for you, you must take your position by his side. When you look at scriptures and you look at them from the point of a student, like you are trying to understand, you will get some meaning, you will not get the meaning. But when you stand behind the Lord, you hide behind the cross to see his light. He doesn't just teach you, he leads you beside the still waters. He shows you the true things that are in his heart. He personalizes the revelation to you. And you're able to see that, oh, just like Elijah, just like Abraham, is making me wait, but not for nothing, but for a good reason. You can see your journey. You can see the progression of your journey. God can use one character in scriptures to define you and reveal you to you because you stand beside him and you stand behind him and you walk with him. Your posture in looking at scripture, very important. If not, you might just be reading the Bible. The Bible is not a book. It's a spirit. It's the word of God. It amazes me that the man in this question happens to be a lawyer, and you don't just want to discount that, because the law, a lawyer in the Jewish days was trained in Jewish law. That means that that man must have mastered the Torah and must have mastered the prophets. The guy had thorough understanding of the question he was asking the Lord, and in fact Jesus discerned him, because scripture said he didn't ask for knowledge, he asked to tempt him. Are you hearing me? So you need to trust the Lord for discernment. That many times, not all Israel is Israel. People ask you stuff. People ask you questions. You think they really want to know what you think. No, they want to tempt you so that they can catch you in your words. You must trust God for the grace for discernment. That when you are looking at something, to see the spiritual construct of that thing. Not judging after what is in front of you. That's why people get into trouble. They make all kind of spiritual issues. Oh, I think she's my wife because she's lovely. She sings in the choir. She could be the devil. She could be the devil. How do you know? Say the devils also believe that God exists, and they tremble. You believe God exists, it doesn't make you tremble. The devil looks at the concept of God and marvels at it. You look at the concept of God and say, hey, hi. And then you wonder why we are both operating at different levels of revelation. Because you do not humble yourself at God's word, you cannot receive the things. Psalms chapter 66, I believe, says that to this man will I look. The man who is of a broken and a contrite spirit, and what? Trembles at my word. There is a posture God expects of his sons. Whenever his word is coming forth, he expects some kind of reverence, some kind of attitude that this is God's word. Once it comes, there is no other thing. It's not the Bible and other books. There is a posture, and that is the difference between the man who walks in revelation continuously and the man who can go to God and say, God, I've been talking about this for a few days. You didn't say nothing to me. Jesus, scripture says when he prayed, the Bible says God heard him because what? He feared. He had godly reverence and fear towards the Lord. He didn't say, Shebi is my father. Shebi is my God. There was an attitude. He knew the difference between the word of God and the Son of Man. Because in the spiritual realm, he is the word of God. But on earth, he is the Son of Man. And he knew the change of role. And he was able to come to him and say, my Father, who art in heaven. And he was able to pray 4-6 hours every night, seeking him. He could have said, Sheba, I prayed 3 weeks ago. I've been praying for 4 hours every last 3 weeks. Let me rest today. Jesus didn't have that. He just had this thing on his inside, like, I have to keep seeking him. I had to keep seeking him. He didn't get tired. Possibly they had almost tried to throw him off the cliff the day before, and I was like, God, I don't want them to throw me off today. They almost got away with it last time. And he would pray. He didn't allow what he was going to deter him from seeking the Lord. So many times when you see people who know, and all of them categories of people who come to you and try to engage you, many times you need to look into your spirit to see the spirit that is talking to you. Because the word tempter, there is the word for Satan. Lucifer. Satan. Satan, the tempter. The tempter. But the man came innocently, as though he wanted to walk with God, or as though he wanted an information that will help his relationship with God. And Jesus didn't even make him feel bad. Jesus started teaching him. Teaching is one of the perfect ways to break the spell of manipulation. And that's why when your heart doesn't, you know, gravitate towards learning, you have lost a very major essence of God. You don't understand. He's the teacher. When he came, he didn't call himself, so he's called himself Rabboni. Rabboni means master, teacher. Master, teacher, teacher. You connect to that dimension of God. He doesn't teach of anything. He teaches of himself. He exposes himself. He unveils himself to you. So that when you speak based on the authority of the things that are speaking. So when men ask you, by what authority do you do the things you do? Say, ah, I know where I'm coming from. And I said, looked at that woman by his grave side. Said, Mary. She responded, teacher. Rabboni, teacher. My teacher. My teacher. That was a depth of the depth of the relationship they had. The one who teaches me how to live. The one who has taught me all I knew. The one who found me when I was nothing. My teacher. My master. So Jesus was able to descend and look into the man that was asking the question. And it looks like the simplest of questions. But of course, if you had studied the law like he did, he knew that Moses had already said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy strength. But he wanted to tempt Jesus to see if he would falter. And Jesus took him on a teaching spree. Express. You must trust God for revelation. Not all questions are questions. Some are tempting questions. Many times when people ask you a question, you think they are asking a question because they want to know. They are responding to the strength of religion. Are you hearing? People are responding to the strength of religion. What religion does is it cages you and puts you in a mode where you are only able to worship God from what they say you can do. Oh, you can't clap in this church. Oh, you can't dance in this church. Oh, you can't. Brothers have got to sit this way. Sisters have got to sit that way. Your skirt has to be extremely long. You name them, all them laws. And those laws are for us. Again, I always say, it's not the word of God that teaches you to dress well. It's home training. Home training. Home training. You dress the way you want to be addressed. It's home training. Home training. Even if it's not in the Bible, home training teaches you that. So it's not a sign that you're a Christian. Religion gives you a form without spirit. It gives you clouds, like clouds without rain. Religion will make you feel like you've got all the answers, like the lawyer. You look like you've got it all worked out, like you have yourself together, like you are asking an intelligent question. God is looking at you and discerning the voice of the tempter coming forth from your lips. And like, well, why are you asking me? You already know the answer. You're a lawyer. You should know. If nobody, you, a lawyer, should know. Because you are not just trained in the common law, as we know it today. You are trained in Jewish law. And that means you would have read the Torah. You know what Moses said. Be careful when people who seem to know are asking you. They are not really looking for answers. Religion can be extremely powerful. It gives you a religion will give you a spirit of heaviness and call it a spirit of prayer. False burdens, and you need to be careful of false burdens. Many times you will pick up burdens that are not yours. Don't let it weigh down. Don't feel sorry for other people's problems. Let me rephrase. Don't carry other people's burdens if it's not to bring you to a place of prayer. What is the difference between a weight and a burden? You see Isaiah will say, the burden of the word of the Lord upon Isaiah, the burden of the word of the Lord upon Ezekiel, the burden. And every time there was a burden, there was either praying or prophesying. If you say you have a burden, what was the next product of that burden? A weight will rest on you and you will feel incapable and you can't do anything. You feel the weight of sin, you feel the weight of failure, you feel the weight of, I'm a failure, I've lost my ministry. You will feel all the things you are not. A burden that looks beyond that. It tells you what is in the future and tells you how you can connect to it through prophesying and through intercession. They both look similar, but one will come with depression. Even Jesus speaking about the cross, say, come unto me, say, for my, and take my cross upon you, say, for my yoke is what? It's easy, and my burden is what? Light. It has a weight, but it's light. Sometimes we think that the depth of the thing, we think the depth of the complexity of the things we have to say is a reflection of the depth of our walk with God. No, sir. That when we're able to say very deep things and people get people so confused and lost in that, wow, but that brother just very hot and spicy, speaks God's word with such authority and dexterity, and able to bring together very complex terms and concepts and begins to break them down with such ease, and is able to just take eternal things and split them in pieces, dices them and presents them to you, and you are still confused. Say, wow, what a speaker. He speaks with such authority and dominion. The God's power flowing on the inside of him. He's got so much stuff on his inside. And we equate that to his depth. The guy's very deep, no? He may be deep, but possibly he could also be shallow. Because the strength of your depth is that you can take things that are very deep and make them simple. Jesus will be speaking to the farmers and he'll say, if sower went to the farm and he sowed. But when he saw the Pharisees, he will step up the game and start speaking a language that would be confused. Have you noticed? Jesus didn't get complex until he saw the hypocrites. It's not a sign of weakness. You can step the game up only to show them that they are fools. But religion will put you in such space where people begin to think you are so deep, and then maybe at some point when you are so at your lowest point and you don't know who to run to and you need some encouragement, you don't even know who to turn to, because they've already put you in a particular spot. Like, he's so high there, Pastor Bola can be discouraged, evangelist is always okay, very anointed, Pastor Ego always on point, you know, knows what to say and what to do, and right here maybe he just struggled to come to church. Like, let me just show up. Let me just not stay at home. Yeah, sometimes we feel like not coming to church too. Yeah. So it's not, you are not alone. In fact, you have one friend in that category speaking right now. Sometimes you don't feel like doing church. Sometimes you don't feel like doing stuff. Sometimes you feel like all the people you should have spoken to, all they have to tell you are scriptures upon scriptures upon scriptures, and you just need one real person to talk to you right now. You've not said what you've got to say, and you're already in 1 John chapter 3. I want to read a scripture that matches what you're just trying to share with me right now. Can you just shut up and can we just be honest with ourselves right now? You see, you don't understand me. I understand the part of don't marry an unbeliever. The challenge is that I'm in love with him. You don't understand. Pastor, I heard that part. I know it's in the Bible. The problem is I want this. So, Pastor, what are you going to say this time, man? Amen. If she just told you right now, I love him. I mean, I just kind of connect with him. So, I feel the spark. See the spark. When beauty begins to fall in love with the beast, there's something about love. It can confuse you with your revelation. Call of study, why would a beauty fall in love with the beast? Then you start looking. Father, give me a scripture. Hey, shut up. There's no scripture. You must learn how to discern Satan. Every time people come with you with eye-sounding wisdom, trying to confuse you and make you feel less of yourself, be very careful. One of the easiest ways to unmask the power of the devil is to understand the power of patience. Patience is the thing that unmasks the face of deception. No, because the devil cannot carry the nature and the character of light for a perpetual long time. So if you give it time, and you pray as you're going to pray in the spirit, you will begin to notice that he has to change back into his form. Because if I said I'm the one I want to get married to, or you're the one I want to do business with, and I begin to linger, then I will see your desperation. Your desperation will reveal your real motive. How was Jesus able to walk in such discernment that the guy sounded like he was asking a very brilliant question and Jesus was hearing the voice of Satan? Have you ever thought about it? I keep saying to you guys, take your time, study the New Testament, read the way Jesus speaks, look at the way he responds to questions, look at the way sometimes you are not asking a question but he's answering. Have you seen such in scripture? They were on the mountain and Peter said, it is good for us to, oh goodness. Many times Jesus will pick the thoughts literally out of the heart of the Pharisees and he will answer their thoughts. Because every transaction, whether in thought or in action, is valid. Luke chapter 5 and verse 16. I want to show you something. Luke chapter 5 and verse 16. Most of the things the Lord asks us to do or requires from us to do, they are things that actually fills the potential of the Spirit to be able to relate at that level. Look at this in Luke chapter 5 and verse 16. Are we there? The Bible said, go to verse 15. But the so much more went, there was a fame of him abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their what? Of their infirmities. What did Jesus do? And he withdrew himself into the wilderness to pray. Jesus was not moved by the pool of the people. He was moved by the depth of his communion life with God. That is where all the strength comes from. So when you see someone that operates in very strong discernment, check his prayer life. When you see someone that works in a lot of discernment, check his prayer life. Discerning people are not usually far from prayer people. Are you hearing? So sometimes it looks like, that brother could see through me. No. There's a praying person there. If you want to develop your capacity to be able to unmask intentions, you must be a person of prayer. It amazes me how many times we schedule time for outings with our friends, we schedule time for fellowship, we schedule time for so many things, watching a film or a video. We don't schedule time for prayer. We don't have we don't wake up with the intention to pray. You understand? We don't wake up with, that's why I say to you, it's good to work for a salary, but more than that, you must believe God for a business. You can wake up and say, okay, 8 o'clock before I step out of my house this morning, take 2 hours, take 3 hours, and just seek the face of the Lord. Tony Barker says sometimes for an entire week he's not even praying, he's just studying. After the study, he enters into 2 weeks of prayer, praying. Find your own flavor, find that thing that works for you. Don't do this morning daily God, what do you call that stuff again? Don't do this daily manner thing. Leave it for those who are just giving their life to Christ. When it has to do with digging deep into the word of God, I'm just talking about a lawyer right now. I've not even touched the things that Jesus used as his response. I'm talking about a lawyer. And look at all the things I'm sharing with you. You are too in a hurry for God. Come on, slow the game down. Slow the pace down. When you are playing with Brazil and you're in Nigeria, don't play a fast game with them. Slow the game down. It frustrates them. Every time you try to follow the pace and do the time and do the running and do the speed and all of that, the devil is excited because he knows they are going to goof. Slow the game down. Slow the game down. Your strength is in your confidence, quiet confidence. Many times when you give the pace, you are giving the impression in what you are doing. You are going to fall. Slow the pace down. Patience doesn't mean you have lost time. The God you serve, the God who is your father, is the master of time. You must be a person of prayer. In Matthew chapter 26 and verse 39, I want to show you something. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 39. What is the posture of prayer? I want to show you the posture of prayer. You see, we need to... look at this. Look at verse 38. Then said it unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye and watch with me. Here he was about to go to the cross. I think this was somewhere in Gethsemane. And then he went a little further. And did what? He fell on his face. Stop there. Yeah, the first thing I want you to see here in the posture of prayer is that prayer is first of all a personal thing. It's the strength upon which your relationship with God will rest. It doesn't matter what you do in church. It doesn't matter what you do with people. Prayer is the meeting point for spirit and flesh. Well, or for spirit and spirits, human spirits and divine and divinity. It's the point. The strength of that prayer life is the strength of a relationship with God. The Bible said Jesus told them, my soul is sorrowful. But he went a bit further. What does that signify? The place where I am without distractions. Shut the phone down. Stop the WhatsApp. Stop the Instagram. Turn the phone off. Turn the TV off. Turn the whole thing off. Just shut it down. You want to press into God in this level? You've got to learn how to take a little step further away from distractions. And don't tell me there were any people who were waiting for him to be prayed for. There were people who had legitimate concerns. Don't value the people above the one who called you. Hey, I hope you know they were seeing people who crucified him. Hey, he didn't change their mind when it was time. When it was time for him to die, it was the same people who put him on that cross. Your first assignment as a man of God or as someone who has received a mandate from God is to be with him. 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 Every time God called a man, he called them first to be with him before he called them to go out for him. The Bible said he fell upon his face. He fell upon his face and then he began to pray. Look at that posture, to fall upon your face with your face touching the ground, lying prostrate before God. That was the way Jesus related with his father. He didn't say, oh, you know, dad, you know, praise God, you know, I just missed. Why am I coming back to heaven? You know, like this kind of, these people are not really getting anything. Can we just pack it up and come back quickly? Ha! I missed that place. Jesus didn't speak English. He spoke Aramaic, more like Pidgin English. So for those who try to make you that the strength, the way you speak is the depth of how anointed you are. So I'm asking you, if God asks you to preach in Igbo, how will your message come out? If you had to preach in Hausa, God is not an English God, he's God. God speaks light, God speaks revelation. When God speaks, there's illumination. It's not an English thing. God has never spoken English in his life. That's what you heard, because that's what you understand. Jesus had the posture. He went a step, some few steps forward, and laid prostrate before his father. Mamra ishalani sada. I am nothing except all that you have made me, except you infuse me with strength. I cannot bless these people. I cannot heal them. I cannot touch them with the power of your compassion. Fuse me with your power. Download the fullness of the Spirit upon me. Give me grace for the cross. Give me grace for the cross. This is different. I've never felt it, and I'm helpless except you help me. And his face will touch the ground. He will pray as though he was just a man, yet he will live his life as though he was God. Anything that helps you make an excuse for prayer is the devil. Don't even ask who is talking. It's the devil. And it didn't matter if just was a preacher or if just was a businessman. That was the posture. That is still the posture. Have an attitude with God when you come to pray. Don't just come to him carelessly. Know that you are having a dinner or a date with the King of Kings. Don't just come anyhow. If you like to sing, sing with an attitude. If you like to dance in his presence, dance with an attitude. If you like to lift your hands, lift them with an attitude. Know that you are not alone. That every time someone lifts up the name of the Lord in the earth, the angels and the heavens respond to the demands of that person. And they come and they fellowship with you. If any man will open the door, I will come in and I will sup with him. Luke chapter 6 and verse 12. Because you need to understand that Jesus was not just Jesus because he was Jesus. He was Jesus because he did certain things consistently. Luke chapter 6 verse 12. The Bible says, and it came to pass in those days that he went out into the mountain to pray and continued all night where? In prayer to God. Jesus prayed all night, preached all day, prayed all night, preached all day, prayed all night, preached all day. You want to know why he became who he became? Prayed all night, preached all day, prayed all night. Just was a prayer warrior. Just was a prayer warrior. Just was not a singing, it was a prayer warrior. If it was prayer, it was prayer. If it's a concert, let's know it's a concert. Prayer is prayer. There's no other way to pray but to pray. And I imagine that some of those parents say, that Pharisee, the guy almost pushed me down yesterday. And they talk about it. He will talk and ask God for strength to be faithful in his assignment and to do his work and to complete it. He received strength. Jesus didn't speak in tongues, but he was so filled with the Spirit. He had an attitude when coming to God. He didn't come to God like one of those things. He came to God because his business. I must be about my father's business. The way you start is the way you finish. You can't start in the Spirit and finish in the flesh. You will finish, but you won't be God anymore. Bible says he went out into the mountain. Again, he looked at the attitude. He always looked for a place alone with God. He always searched for a place. Not somewhere where you are Facebooking. And it's time to stop facing the book and facing God. You must have an attitude. When you really, really want to pray. And it's okay, there are different types of prayer. Sometimes you are in the car and you are just in the bus and you are just muttering to yourself in the Spirit. But there are some of these type of prayers. This type of prayer, you need to get away from where people are. Turn off that phone. Turn off everything. Turn off the laptop. Turn off the TV. And then pray. Pray till you lose your voice. I want to encourage you to find that secret place. Find that place in your house. Find that place maybe in your office area. Somewhere that defines a secret place for you. Find that place that defines a secret place for you. I'm talking about love, but I will get there. That's the summary of that old scripture. Find that place that defines a secret place. That place that anytime you are there, it kind of, this is where I always meet with God. Find that place. You can't do that if you are living in a one-room apartment. There are many of you who would like to have a better prayer life, but everybody, like four, five, six people in a room, how are you going to pray without disturbing people? You understand what I'm saying? And everybody thinks you are normal until you lift up your voice. Can't do that in a one-room apartment. Even if your wife understands, what about the other children in the room or some other people in the room? You just like, sometimes you wear your shoes and then you take a stroll and take a jog. And you are jogging on the express. You need to find that place. Jesus did. You have no hope if you don't. Just could have made an excuse for it, but he didn't. Don't. When Jesus saw the lawyer, he knew the lawyer was trying to tempt him. So what did he do? He stepped the game up. Stepped the game up. Always know when to step the game up. When you have people who you can discern that these people are just trying to see your level of knowledge or whether you know what you're really doing, then step the game up. Look like you're giving to them what they want, then turn the game around. Because Jesus was not just talking to the lawyer, he was telling him the hollowness of his heart. That even though you know scriptures, you don't walk in love. And it's easy to talk about love. It's easy to talk about it. One of the things you know about love is that love surpasses knowledge. Love surpasses knowledge. When you love is something that you probably have to be doing something to prove it. It's not a message like that. It's an action word. You've got to be showing something in your posture, in your body language. You've got to be showing love. Are you hearing me? And many times love may not be what people think they need. And you still have to do it. Oh, you failed your jam. Okay, good. Do you want a receipt? Yes, okay, good. You go get a job and then you pay for the jam this time around. That's discipline. Just because your child wants it doesn't mean you should give it to him. Learn how to work. Go and check all the top billionaires. Their children do menial jobs. They work in the father's company, not as managers, as servants. Yeah, I don't want my children to suffer the way I suffered. I want to give them the best in life. Shut up. You just give them the best in life. Zero. I don't understand how the people of this world seem to get this thing. And we have a problem with it. It doesn't work that way. I don't want my children to suffer the way I suffered. So the boy is 22, he graduated from Covenant University and they made him general manager. What does he know? Says his father's company. So what happened to Abiola? Where are the children today? Are they still alive? Why are you not hearing about the companies? My brother, the thing you learn by experience is different from what you learned in school. There's a love that surpasses knowledge. Love is a type of knowledge, but it surpasses knowledge. It's not book, it's not head, it's heart. It's not head, it's heart. Not head knowledge, heart. What does it mean to love God? It's a bit quite difficult to explain that to you, but I try to capture it in a little words. It says to have undivided attention and loyalty towards God. To have undivided attention and loyalty towards God. That you are first of all Christian before Nigeria. It means that just like someone you are in love with, we expect you to seek them out and check on them and call them throughout the day and then challenge you. Hey, you didn't call me today. It's supposed to wake me up by 6 a.m. You didn't call me. You didn't wake me up. Hey, those things are good when you are dating. When you are married, you got to wake up. Use the alarm. Use the alarm. I can promise you I'll do it, but the truth is I won't. That's why that alarm is there. Use it. That's his purpose. My own purpose is not to just use the alarm. Praise God. Use the alarm. Use the alarm. This is not fairy tale. This is Nigeria. Use the alarm. Every phone has it. Stop answering purpose that is not your own. You understand? Stop fulfilling destiny that is not your destiny is not to wake up your wife every morning. Use the alarm. Sometimes we have false and wrong expectations of what marriage should be, and that's why we mess everything up. You just got to wake up. This is a real world. This is a real world. It's not some fairy tale, Princess Cinderella kind of life. Yes, and that's cartoon. That's why nobody dies in cartoon. Are you hearing me? Your relationship with God is very deep. It can be emotional, but it's beyond emotions. Are you hearing me? That's why many times when we come to God, we sing to Him and we weep before Him because we see all of His goodness as He comes to us. We see that God loves us even though when He has a choice and can choose not to love us. But He chooses to love us, and that touches us. Sometimes we kneel before Him and we just weep because we don't even know what to say about this kind of love. How everybody who seems to be knowledgeable and mature turn their backs on you, and then God just keeps telling you it's going to be alright. How you keep committing the same sin over and over again, God tells you, hey, you're going to come through this. Only you are God, you should just punish me right now. I say, no, I have hope in you. I should fire you, but I have hope in you. I should deal with you, but I have hope in you. That's God. So when you come to that point of revelation, there's a way it empowers your seeking. You begin to seek Him in such a way that if there's one person on earth that I will never feel condemned before, it's my Father. So you come to Him and you can sing blameless before the throne because you are just in that point where this is one thing you want to do forever. And when you want to get married to somebody and the person is not a God seeker, because who journeys with you now must be on your journey. Must have undivided loyalty and attention to God. You must be a God seeker. Number three, you must be jealous about Him. Hey, O Israel, our Lord, our God is one God and He's a jealous God. God is jealous over you. God is jealous over you. You've got to know it. God is, that's why I didn't let you go. That's why I didn't let you hang yourself. That's why I didn't let you just withdraw back into depression. That's why He came for you. Even when you didn't know He was out there, He was close to you in somebody standing beside you. Are you hearing me? So somebody was going to kill us. If I saw that thing online sometime last week. The lady was saying, I never realized how important my job was. She's actually an hairdresser. I don't know if you saw that post online. Sam, she's actually an hairdresser, and she didn't know how powerful her job was until somebody came to her the week after and said, do you know that last week a few months ago when I came to make my hair, I was depressed with life, and I just thought, let me make my hair one more time, then I'll go home and kill myself. These Americans are crazy. Somebody took his money to make her hair. Then go home and write a suicidal note and kill her. She said, but when she got home and then she looked at the mirror, then she realized how beautiful she was. Wow, isn't bad. So I won't kill myself again. So she came to the woman and said, thank you. Now, for those of you who think Christianity is about doing it anyhow, imagine that that woman was not very good at what she does. She would have gotten paid and sent that girl straight to hell. And God will say it's on you. Because for whatever reason, you think whatever you do for God should not be thorough. For whatever you do, you think it's just God, let's just do it. Hey, no sir, thorough. Keep developing yourself. You see this thing about not being able to read books and do stuff, it shows how hollow you are. Not being able to learn. Put yourself, register yourself for a course. See the way the devil's mind works. Every time you go to school, you are having an idea how the devil's organization is built on systems and systems and systems. Nursery school, primary school, secondary school, university. By the time you are out of university, some people come out saying there's no God. His father is CAC. But by the time he graduates from university, philosophy department, I now know there is no God. But the devil didn't start there. He started from primary school. ABC rhyme, arithmetic, science, intro tech, social studies, and then you come to GST, philosophy of science, philosophy and logic. Again, they say, I enjoy that course. Then one day they say, if God is good, why do bad things happen to good people? I knew that there is no God, but I couldn't prove it until today. Even though the professor who taught the class is a pastor in the Redeemed Christian Church of God, but you, the student, for some reason didn't see that. You're just like, I've always knew it. Why do bad things happen to good people? Why are the people that are not following God are always making it? They're not asking questions. The person who designed that course is a pastor. He has died, he's in heaven. You read it. He threw away the Bible. What a mighty God we serve. Oh boy. You have come to that place of jealousy. Where you are so passionate, you can't stand somebody speaking ill about your God. You say, hey, stop it. Do that in your house. Can't do that here. Let your relationship with God be contagious. People look into your eyes and they see somebody, an arrow that God is sharpening, an arrow to be shot into the future. Let your walk with God be deliberate and business minded. Don't do God like something like casual. No, He is your life. Be jealous about Him. Anywhere people don't magnify, no God, pick your Bible and say, I'm out of here. Celebrate Him. He is your God. He is your Father. You would have to apply to get into Asrock. You don't need any application to see Him. Just lift up your voice and begin to bless Him. And then you just find that the presence is there all of a sudden. Sometimes even just after you committed the sin, you will still find Him waiting there because He has hope in you. There's a story of this man in Mark chapter 10 who came to Jesus. And I probably begin to close with this. Mark chapter 10, I think verse 20 or 21. The guy wanted to, in that story, the guy came to Jesus and said, Master, good Master, what shall I do that I may be saved? I may get eternal life. And that seems to be the question on the lips of so many people, even though we are asking it in different ways. And the guy came and said, oh, I want to have eternal life. So this rich man had gotten to a point where he realized that money could not save. And that these are the things many believers are trying to get. But the rich man, because of where he is, he can see the lower mountains. Solomon got to that point and realized that all these things were vanity. Why do you want your own life to always be the one we are using for example? Negative example. Solomon was there, he fell. This man was there, already falling. He didn't know. What is this thing about being rich and having perspective? Because when you are at that point, all of a sudden you can see what matters and what doesn't matter. Are you hearing me? I was reading a research online about the top 10 billionaires in the world. And they were looking at what are the things that really made them who they were. The first thing one of them said was that I didn't plan to become a billionaire. Number two, I did what I loved. And I take care of my health. Everything they did was not directly connected to the business. It was mostly connected to their state of mind. So they were really productive. You don't understand? They just realized the business was doing fine. Then they became people persons. Oh, how are you this morning? You could see Richard Branson taking a picture with his staff. You can't find that with some companies in quote, big guys. You won't find Buhari taking a picture with people in the state house. For them, it's I'm separate from you. It amazes you that every time you listen to the television and watch news, you see great analysts on TV. Have you ever thought we had a problem of analysts in Nigeria? Take the person and put him there. You see the problem. We have a systemic problem. And in case you think it's just Christianity and to go to heaven, let me shock you. We have at least seven mountains. We have the mountain of religion, which is where we are. We have the governmental and mountain. We have the financial mountain. We have the art and entertainment. What else? We have education, media, family. In each of all these mountains, there are ruling spirits and there are rulers. You can't have all of this top you and sit on this mountain. What you do when we decide to sit here is that we stay on one mountain. We have unbelievers possessing six other mountains. Then you now wonder why they don't let you come in. They won't, because you won't serve their purpose. And that's why a Daniel came into that system. For him to take it, he placed himself on the perpetual fast. He didn't wait to hear the Lord. He placed himself. It's the three Hebrew boys. They placed themselves on perpetual fast. My friend works in DPR. And he said when the city was posted to, the people don't stay there for 3 months, they die. So they posted him from Benue. And then when he got there, he said he asked the Lord, three people have come to this city and three people have died. What should I do? A man that will be close to God must have his hair in the temple. Oh! There's a song like that. You must have your hair in the temple. Then the Lord said to him, don't let the sun meet food in your mouth till I tell you. So if he had to eat, he would have to wake up like 4 a.m., 3 a.m., 2 a.m. The Lord said the power of the witchcraft that is on that seat you are must not meet food in your mouth. He said for 1 year he was fasting. People just noticed he didn't die. So one day somebody came to him in the office and said, Oga, you're strong. Was one of the cleaners. Ah, guy, you're strong. The guy thought he was just making a pass. The guy said, shake your hair. They expected you to have been dead by now. Say, from today, the power of evil over that desk is broken. Start eating. Keep your ears in the temple. This is not thou shalt. This is instruction. This is instruction. The instruction is yours. It's not a doctrine. It's yours. Follow it. So don't go there and begin to look for how to fast and lose weight. This is not what I'm talking about. I'm saying get the instruction that God is bringing to you and follow it. God kept a man for 365 days, and every time the sun was up, every time he could see the daylight, food must not be in his mouth except the saliva he was swallowing. So this man, this rich man was, and you really should study the concept of a rich man. This rich man had everything, but he felt the void in him. And he decided to come to Jesus to ask, what can I do? And Jesus said to him, fulfill all the laws. Right? Then that feels safe. Go and fulfill all the laws. The scriptures are there. Study it. Read it. Man said, I've done all these things. Like some of you are thinking, I've done everything you asked me to do. I've read the scripture. I live a holy life. I do this, I do that. And God says, yeah, one thing you lack. Now let's look at what Jesus said he lacked. He said, the Bible says, Jesus beholding him loved me. Loved him means that he was saying the truth. If he was lying, Jesus would not be smiling at him. When the guy said he fulfilled the law, he wasn't lying. He was a rich man. And there's this thing about rich men, pastor, about and following instructions. If a rich man wants to walk with God, he walks with God well. So this guy wasn't lying. He was actually following the instruction. Jesus said to him, there's just one thing you lack. This is the ministry of the word of knowledge. Go your way. Sell everything you have. Give it to the poor. And you shall have what? Treasure in heaven. Then come back. I have a cross for you. Carry it. Follow me. Verse 22. And the man was sad. See how just one simple statement revealed the true state of that man's heart. And he was sad at the saying, and he went away grieved, as if he had lost someone. For he had what? He didn't have great possession. Great possessions had him. What was Jesus saying to him? Was he saying he should be broke? So what did Jesus mean? Take away that which stands between me and you. You see this issue of idol, it's not prophecy that will reveal it. It's you that will sit down and look at yourself. For all I care, you may be doing fine. You may be doing fine. Don't be surprised. God will not even tell me anything about your idol. For all I care, oh, bro, damn, Lord, you're doing so great. I just bless God for you. I see God taking you places. And yet God is saying, hey, damn, don't be fooled by that pastor. Hey, idols, three idols, seven idols. Check him. Deal with that thing that stands between you and your maker. It could be a prevailing thought. It may not be something, it may be a thought. The Bible says, bringing every thought into obedience. Judge them. Don't spare them. Judge them. If you allow them space to grow, they will fight you later. Judge them. Judge the thoughts. Your thoughts are legal transactions in the spirit. Don't let them sit inside your head if they are not from God. Are you hearing me? Judge them. Judge them. Judge them. Judge them. It says, stand, take away that which stands between you and your creator. Only then will you receive the power to take your cross and to follow him. That's what that scripture means. So starting 2017, it's a good time to look at yourself and ask yourself, what are those things that have me that I need to unhave? Most times you need very little for the day. How many times will you eat? When I was much younger, I would look at my dad and see all the pieces of meat on this, and I couldn't wait to be grown. Right now, how many pieces of meat can you even eat? There's no time. Sometimes 3 days, you would fast, 7 days, you will fast till you begin to purge. I don't know where some of you have been there before. Even for you, I don't know, but I mean, you literally are like, am I sick? You would fast till you begin to purge. You will fast till you begin to draw blood. You can't say any of these things to people. And it's not, you are not looking for anything. You just want God to be able to do a deep work in your heart. Look at you. Why are you so pale? You are looking so pale. So I'm okay. You are not okay. Have you been eating? You need to eat. Yes, I know. You need very little to survive. Take it from me. Right now, you are not mine. That's why I think you need a lot of pieces of meat on your plate. By the time you get to that point, you will realize there's no time. I had this lovely food on top of my table, and somebody had died, and then I was eating, and then my wife just told me, oh, so bad. And I just lost appetite for the food. There's a very lovely plate in front of me. No appetite. The Bible said that man walked away and he was grieved in his heart. Are you going to do the same thing today? Are you just going to... You see, that man didn't judge God faithful. He didn't really think God was being fair on him. If anything, like, you know, we've been believing God for you. We've been praying for chief men, people that will come into this ministry and support the ministry. You know, right now we are going to Capernaum, and then we also stop at Joppa, and then we want to get to... want to take the battle to the gates of... We are going to Eros Palace. And we need people like you, hallelujah, to support this work. We're going to do banners, so we're going to sponsor the gospel. And just could have done all of that. And guy like, wow, finally I'm doing something for the kingdom. The problem with that guy was that he was not really looking for eternal life, he was looking for validation. He was looking for what? Validation. That one, God will not give you like that. I say he will not do what? He will not give you like that. Be careful what you wish for. 2017, are you going to continue to do it the same old way, or is something going to change? Can I shock you? If that guy come to Jesus and say, right now as you are saying it, I give everything I have to the poor, Jesus will tell him, keep it. Did you hear him? If he had said he's going to do it, Jesus will say what? Keep it. There was a short man, and it seems to me that sometimes those people who seem to be short have a better grasp of those some of these things. His name was Zacchaeus. Was it Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus, the guy who climbed the tree to see Jesus. You see, for him, the experience had to be deep because he knew the effort to even see. And it may seem like nothing to you, but when a rich man begins to climb a tree, it's either he went mad or something's wrong with him. But when the guy needed to see something, and he climbed the tree, he didn't allow his messengers to do it. When he climbed the tree, he took a step of faith in the direction he was interested in. He didn't let when it comes to the issue of relating with God, he's not a weeting, he's a youthing. Starts there. And Jesus said to him, after, you know, Jesus didn't even preach any long thing with him. Jesus was just loving. Come, let's go to us and have lunch. And they were having lunch. And he was just looking at the way Jesus was doing his thing. And let's say, Master, everyone I have done heal against. Everyone I've, I mean, just looking at the person and the character of Jesus, everybody I've really offended. I'm giving them times three of everything I took from them. I'm doing this and all that. Did Jesus say anything? Jesus was just having lunch. But the moment he said that, Jesus now made the statement that the guy that made the guy climb the tree in the first place, say, today salvation has come to your house. Jesus knew what the guy was looking for, but Jesus didn't say anything. He wanted to see his posture. Can you sit through? Can you stay through? Can you walk with me on this? Let's go to your house and see your house the way it is. Don't arrange anything from this tree. Let's go to your house. Don't try to make everything look okay. Don't make it look like it was not you deserve to hurt the person back. Don't make it look like you have a say in the matter. Let's just go to your house the way it is. Disorganized, visit your room upside down. Yeah, you're looking all trendy and all fine, but you know you didn't lay your bed after you stepped out of bed this morning. Let's see the room the way it is. And so I imagine just went to bed. Oh, your room is sorry, Master, but I didn't dress the way you left this one. He said, it's okay. And he said, why is this? You see, dirty feet in the bedroom. And where's the person that's supposed to clean this place today? As I seek, today of all this. You know, let's just see the way it is. No more sheets, no more covering. Let me see you as you are. I can help you, but I've got to see you the way you are. No more hiding, no more grammar, no more defense, no more stories. Let's just see you the way you are. Then can we have lunch? And Jesus looked at him, and just Jesus' comfort, visiting the rooms, going to the kitchen, seeing what Zacchaeus was all about, his businesses and all of that, the one that was doing well, the one that wasn't doing well, just began to see his guilt, just began to see his longing, just began to see the reason why he actually tried to climb a tree. And without saying a word, the man said, everything I have, I would pay. If it would solve the problem of my conscience, I would give it away. And just said, because you are willing, today salvation has come to your house. I encourage you this morning, no more sheets, no more cover up. Come as you are. He won't leave you as you are, but you need to come as you are. Open up the doors to him. Let him see your room the way it is. Let him see your bedroom the way it is. Let him see your kitchen the way it is. Let him see that you have internal insecurities. That there are things that scare you. That things that make you afraid. And that you sometimes you don't know what to do. People see you as very spiritual and very up and doing and all that. But you have your personal fears. And sometimes you don't know what to do about them. People think you hear God all the time. But most of the time, you know between you and your maker that you only hear God 1% of the time. And many times you don't know what to do. Can you just be honest and open up and say, can you just come and, like Zacchaeus, peradventure if there's anything you can do about my case, I would like to just take this journey to the next level. If Zacchaeus found it, you can. These are the story of two rich men, two different responses. Same wealth, different response. So it's not about your money. It's about your response. What are you going to do today? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.
We know you've been blessed with these words, so you can as well visit us. Plot 223 beside Body Emmanuel Center, Satellite Bus Stop, Ikodu Road, Ilukweju, Lagos. You can also log on to our website at www.theharvestword.org. Contact us for counseling 080-8317-8191. God bless you.